Okay. Hey, Kyle just came up and wanted us to pray. He has a cousin that's just been diagnosed with stage 2 cancer. And he wanted us to pray. And I said, well, come on, you can announce it. And he said, he is too shy. So I said, I'll stand up here with him. And so let's just pray, shall we? Let's bow our heads, join hands with somebody next to you. And let's just come in agreement that, what's your cousin's name?
Karma.
Okay. Well, Lord, we would just come right now on behalf of Karma, and we approach your throne of grace. And your word tells us that we can come confidently because of the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done, that we are your children. So we come before your throne of grace, and your word tells us we'll find strength and help in our time of need. So, Father, on behalf of Karma, we would just come, and we would ask that you would touch her body and that you would heal her, that the cancer that is in her body would be gone in the name of Jesus. Wholeness would be hers. The Lord, in your mercy and your grace, that you extend your hand and touch Karma's body right now and remove all cancer cells. Let her walk in wholeness all of her days in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God is so very good. Anybody have a testimony they'd like to share this morning? Come on, Tim.
Well, I prayed whether I should say it during worship or not, so I said, all right, Lord, if Ray asks, then I'll say it, because I knew it was on my heart. Earlier this week, God just gave me a dream. And if y'all are familiar with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, towards the end of the movie, they had the big glass elevator that they hover around in. Well, I was dreaming I was at work, and then I got in this elevator, and all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm taking off, and this elevator is going down highways, and we're going against the grain, and cars are flying past, and I'm just like, what on earth did I get myself into, and where are we going? And there's another guy that's in the elevator with me, and he's not saying much. He's just kind of quiet. And so we're going off ramps, going back and forth, and we finally stop and get back to where I'm supposed to be at. And I found myself coming out of the elevator thinking, good grief, what on earth did we go through that for? And then the guy said, you know, isn't it great that God's nice enough to take care of us through all this? And then I kind of realized, you know, I stopped, and the whole time I'd been fearing, because it's the glass elevator, so you see all the oncoming traffic, you see everything that's coming at you, and you think, you know, this could kill me at any moment. And the point was, is God spoke to my heart right then in that dream, and he said, you know, if you just let me be like this elevator in your life, you can go through anything, and you can see all the hazards coming your way, but you're protected because I'm in control, and I'm not going to take you out before it's your time. And so for that, it just gave me peace. I knew it was for me, but I knew it was also for the body when I heard that there's things that we see, there's things that we're facing that we see with our natural eyes, but we sometimes so easily forget, at least I so easily forget, that God is like that great glass elevator. He's surrounding us, and he sends us right through the middle of it. And he not only sends us through the middle of it to, you know, it's not to scare us. It's for us to recognize his greatness and his power and to know that in the midst of everything that we're facing, the adversity that comes against us, his shield protects us. And so we can have faith and we can have rest and we can have peace, knowing that he is around us in everything that we do. And when it's time for us to get on to the destination where we're supposed to be at, that we think we're supposed to be at, don't forget the journey he's taken us all the way through, because all those things that we've gone through to get to where we think we're supposed to be, he's allowed all those things to happen because he's teaching us through that process more about himself and more about his love and more about his faithfulness to us.
Thank you, Tim. You know, one of the lies that the devil brings against us every day is that he comes and he tries to convince us that the problems that we were facing are greater than the success that we carry through the grace of Jesus Christ within our bodies and within our lives. He just wants those problems to be so magnified in our mind that we just give up. But God is greater than any problem that we face because of the Spirit of God that he has placed within us. Okay, there was somebody else that had their hand up. Somebody else have a raise your hand? You want to come up and give a testimony? Vicki?
Yeah,
I just wanted to thank God for his protection since my husband's not doing it. My husband was going down Culberson Street in Gainesville the other day, and all of a sudden he got hit in the side by another car and smashed his pickup up pretty bad, but thank God he's all right. But his pickup's a little smashed, so I just want to thank God for his protection.
All right. You want to amen that, Nathan? Okay, well that's good. Okay. Okay, anybody else? Simon. Praise God, you got a fingertip. Amen. Yeah, that Simon's over there with his right one of his fingers elevated, the one that's white, you know, it's. You want to tell us what happened? Okay, yeah. Everybody's curious to know.
All right. It was Wednesday morning. All right. Yeah, Wednesday morning, right before school. I didn't run, and so I got there a little late. I was feeding my chickens, and when I was done, there's a on our egg barn. There's a metal sliding door, and I was on the inside of the barn, and I shut that door on my finger, and part of it got kind of from the tip of it kind of got cut off. Luckily, my ag teacher was down there at the barn unloading lamb, and I was over there hollering, jumping up and down and everything. He runs over there. He thought I was having a revival or something because I was hollering. And he's like, what'd you do? I was like, I slammed my finger in the door, and he saw all the blood and everything. So we're walking over there to the nurse's office. He's trying to call the, because we don't know how bad it is because I grab it. So he's calling the office saying if the nurse is there. Well, like, as we're walking over there, he finally gets a hold of the office and the nurse isn't there. And so my sister drives by taking the girls to school, and he's like, let me look at it. So he looks at it, he's like, yeah, you need to go to the doctor. And so we call my sister, and she turns around and picks me up at the barn, and we go to the hospital, and I have to wait 15 minutes before we actually start driving to the hospital because she has to drop off the girls, get the diaper bag ready, and I'm in the van hurting, and she has to take her time. And so, but I just smashed it, and they sewed it back on, and Tuesday I'll find out if it takes or not, and so to see if I still have a fingernail or not. So that's pretty much it.
Wait, come here. Well, Lord, we just pray that it takes. And that everything heals up properly, and that he has a fingernail on his fingertip and no problems whatsoever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, when I was taking Sherry home from Tambourine on Wednesday night, you know, she gave me the real story. There was a math test that morning, and he had to get out of the test, so he cut his finger off to get out of the test. Now we know. Some people will go to great lengths to get out of math tests. Okay. Oh, praise God. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 12:15 that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn because we are part of the body. We're the body of Christ. And we're rejoicing with Shay because Shay has been working on a book for several years, that some things that the Lord had put on her heart. And so she's had this book to a publisher, and the revisions and all of this stuff have been going on forever. Well, she's finally got the book published. Amen. Woo-hoo. So we rejoice with her. And I've asked her if she'd come and just share a little bit about the book. And we're going to have a copy in the library. So if you would like to use it as a resource sometime, you are welcome to. Go for it.
Well, he knows better than to do that at the first of the service, I'm sure, when I have something like this. This is a book that I've written. It's called Unchain My Heart. Now, let me explain it to you. It's a journal. It's not a devotional. It's a journal. It's a guide for a journal. The idea is a person is supposed to get a notebook and go page by page from the first page to the last page and let the page inspire you to begin to write. It was written for people who are confined, And since I spent 12 years in prison, I found out that there wasn't any document or book that was written with the concept that for a person who was actually confined, every document that I ever found, you go along long enough and pretty soon it won't say exactly these words, but the thought processes will be sort of like, well, you know, you need to go out and sit by the stream and just listen to the birds and whatever, and you'll feel better. Well, this is not a self-help book, and it doesn't tell you to go out and sit by the streams. It deals with a person that cannot go sit by the streams, and it's in a confined situation. When you think of a person inside of prison, you think of a person that is confined, and you can understand that confinement. But there's all kinds of confinement in this world. There's paralysis. There's illness. There's caregivers of the terminally ill. This last week, I've had the opportunity to introduce my book at the COPE conference, and that's the Coalition of Prison Evangelists group, and they are an international group. And I introduced the book there, and I had my little booth, and I got to talk to people, and everybody there at the COPE conference is there because they are involved in prison ministry in some way or another. Let me tell you, 100% of the books that I sold were sold to people that weren't going into prison. I'll give you two examples. One lady comes up to me and she says, my daughter and son-in-law have a 12-year-old autistic child. Do you think this book would be good for them? I said, absolutely. She bought two of them. Yeah. Another one came up to me and said, I have a friend who's been going through a lot of trials in her life, and she's decided that she's kind of taken on the characteristic of isolating herself in her house, and she won't come out and she won't talk to anybody. She's isolating herself in the house. I said, yes, this is for her. It's not just for people in prison. In fact, in this prison evangelist group, all the books I sold were to people who weren't taking them into prison. So God is really interesting when you see how he begins to work in things. But this book is a journal, and it's meant to help you journal. I think the principles in it apply to anybody that wants to be able to live in a condition where you're able to release the unlimited spirit within the physically confined. You know, a person that is confined has a tendency to think that their whole world stopped. And their whole world is confined. So the first few parts of the first chapter deal with journaling to be able to increase a person's ability to understand that just because they may be confined in one area, they may not be confined in all areas. The examples that are used are those examples that are if I can, you can examples are all people that suffered severe confinement. People like Joni Erickson Tada, beautiful teenage girl, whole life in front of her, went to the swimming pool and took a dive off of the diving board and woke up paralyzed from her neck down. And today she has an international ministry. And she calls to us and says, if you can, I can. There's an example of from a man who spent 14 years in solitary confinement in Romania in the bottom of a basement dungeon with no human contact except when people came to beat him. And the unlimited spirit that he had released in him during that time, it says, if he can, I can. The spirit can do so much. You know, we have so much lip service about being able to, we're really a spirit, we live in a body, we have a soul. That's really what this book is about. It begins to start off with dealing with the mind, the thought processes in our mind. Then it deals with the emotions and how to use and train and be able to exercise your emotions. Then it deals with the will. You know, most of us try to go around and deal with our will and change things in our life without ever having dealt with what causes us to think the way we do and how and and our emotions are out of control, it's no wonder we can't exercise our will until we've gotten the mind and the emotions under control. But exercise our will. Then it has a whole section in dealing with the body. Then in the body, that's really the flesh, how we deal with the flesh as opposed to the spirit. When I got ready to write the part on the spirit, I thought, well, no, this one's going to be easy. We've got the mind, will, soul, emotion. We got all that done. That's really great. Now this is going to be easy. And quite frankly, God just put me on hold, and I didn't write anything for 6-8 months or whatever. And when I began to write, what God showed me was we can't live in the spirit until we understand some of the things about kingdom life. How can you live in the kingdom without understanding things about the kingdom life? And he kind of showed me that if I were taken today and put on a plane and sent to China, dumped into China and told, well, now you're go out and live in this society, I wouldn't be able to do that because I don't understand the principles of the society. I don't understand the rules. I don't understand the language. I don't understand the laws. And if other people got dumped into China with me from America, the chances are I would just spend that little time, my time in China, all congregated up with people from America that spoke my language and had my heritage and whatever. And that's the way we do kingdom life. We come to Jesus, but we don't learn about tabernacle. We don't learn about spiritual authority. We don't learn about the principles of the kingdom that allow us to release that spirit and live as a spirit and that is contained in a body and has a soul. This is not an easy book. It's not something that's going to take a very short period of time. If a person took this and started from the first to the last, I really believe it'd take them a year and a half. There are 9 sections of 40 days each. I believe that you could do it over and over and over, and you would continually grow. I think that you could take a journal and write it, and then the next year or so go through it again and compare that journal, and you'd find growth. The growth is not because of the wonderful things I've said. It's because of what the Holy Spirit will do when you take this as a guide and you take your pen and your journal and you begin to work through it. And so what I've done is, as we've finally brought it to this conclusion, the elders have had a chance to look at the book. Pastor's been involved in the book. Christabel helped me edit the first few chapters of the book. So it's been gone over and blessed, and it's been through channels. It's not something I've done in secret and hiding. It's been released, and the first place I want to bring it is to our church. I want to put it on the altar. He's going to put it in the library for you to go look at. But I want to put it on the altar, and I want to release this book into God's hands, because it'll be a step-by-step process that this book goes into the right hands, because there's not a person around that I can think of who really needs this book, who is confined, who will go buy this book. They're not in the bookstore, and they're not playing on the internet looking up the newest self-help book and accidentally step across this, because it's not a self-help book. It's the kind of book that if you got it and you looked at it and you evaluated and you said, I know somebody needs this, that's the way it'll get into their hands. So I release it into the church and into my body, and I expect God to bless it and to take it where He wants it to go.
Thank you, Shay. Hey, Andy, come up and bless this book. Will you do that for us? You take this, and we're going to agree with whatever you bless this book, however you bless it. Let's just agree with him.
Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, lifting this book to you, Lord. You gave Shay the desires to write this book. You gave her the wisdom, the understanding, the discernment, the knowledge, all the things that have gone into this book. You've made a way for it to be reviewed, and you've made a way for it to be published. Lord, there's a purpose and a calling that you have for this book. And we bless this book as the body of Christ here at Cross Timbers for it to go forth and fulfill your intended purpose.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that you would open up all the divine contacts, all the doors, all the mechanisms and ways that you want this book to get out and into the hands of the right people so that their hearts may be unchained. Lord, this is your book. It was put together for your purposes. We bless it in your name, and we ask that you would send it forth in your name that it may accomplish all your heart's desire. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. May every heart that reads the book be unchanged, Lord. Oh, God is so very good. Amen. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. In just a little bit, we're going to watch about an 8-minute video that is really Jesus talked in parables to his disciples. Well, we're going to watch a video in a moment, and it's a parable. But before we actually do that, I'd just like to read a couple of scriptures and share a couple of thoughts with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. And then we're going to look at 2 Peter 1, 3. So if you just go toward the back of the New Testament and find Peter. And 1 Peter 1, 3, Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter, as he writes in his first letter, right off the bat, he shares with the readers that they have been given new birth into a living hope. Something has happened through Jesus Christ. And he says the very first thing that happened is new birth has been given to them. They've been given new birth into a living hope. And all of a sudden, they have passed from death to life. As Peter would say, you've left the realm of darkness and you have entered into a realm of light that comes through Jesus Christ. So we've been given new birth. 2 Peter, if you just flip over to the next book, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, tells us this. It says, "His," referring to our Lord, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." When you hear verses 3 and 4, you hear that Peter, as he writes his second letter, he's saying, you know, right off the bat, he says, not only if the first letter he wrote, he says, you'd be given new birth into a living hope. Now he starts this letter by, folks, we are equipped by God. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. We have been given everything we need. Say that with me. Everything we need. We have been given everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us. Now, we just need to understand some things, that God does not set us up to fail. God sets us up to succeed. God does not put us in a situation in which we are going to fail. It doesn't mean that we always succeed, but He never puts us in a situation in which the outcome is you're going to fail. He always has puts us in situations. He has equipped us so that whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can succeed in it. We don't have this lack of something, so that because of my lack of something, I cannot accomplish what God has put in front of me to do. That He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. God has equipped us. We just need to understand that. He's given us new birth, and then He has equipped us. So whatever circumstances you find yourself in, whatever the situation is, understand God has equipped you for that moment. You can be successful and you can succeed in doing that which God has called you to do in that environment every time. God does not put us into an environment in which we are going to fail because we have a lack of something that was coming from His part. Now, we may fail because we don't implement the things that God has given to us to use, but that's not God's fault. That's our fault. So let me hear an amen to that. Too often we stand around and we watch things happen and we think, well, I'm not going to get involved because I just can't do anything about it. Well, in reality, there are some things that we can do about some situations, but we just don't believe that we can. But listen, if we're, you know, one of the sad things that happened in our country that started on a regular basis of maybe about 20, 25 years ago is that people started getting mugged on the streets and people in the cities watched it happen and didn't do anything about it. And you who are older and can remember the stories, how that, you know, there was a point in our time, in our history, in which people got involved in other people's lives. And they went and to help. And then it was such a, what is happening to us when people will just stand and watch somebody being mugged or beaten and do nothing about it? And as you begin to read the stories, and people say, well, I didn't know the person, so it was none of my business. Or, I didn't think I could do anything. You know, I didn't want to get injured, or I didn't want to become involved. And so we stand by and we watch things happen, when in reality God has called us. He says, whatever situation you find yourself in, God is there with us, and He has given us everything we need. And so we don't need to be afraid to get involved in situations that we find ourselves in. But too often we sit back and say, well, that doesn't concern me. Too often we sit back and think, oh, well, there's nothing I can really do about that. And all we have to do to find out that we do have some stuff that we can bring into the situation is take that step. And as soon as we take that step and begin to get involved, the Spirit of God comes and begins to unloose some things within us. When we were in Honduras, and when we were going to be speaking at this church, and I asked Sherry, I said, yeah, during, you know, when I'm preaching, just look over the congregation and just see if God lays somebody on your heart, and if he does, then ask the Lord what it is that you're supposed to speak to Him. And so I said, can you do that? And she says, yeah, I can do that. So had no idea how the outcome of that was going to be. But so when it was over with, I said, Sherry, did God lay anybody on your heart? And she said, yeah. So she called this old codger up, and he says, yeah, come on up here. And so this guy comes up, and here's Sherry, and Sherry says, whatever you said to him was really good stuff. You remember what you said? Gary probably had written it down. Yeah, you'd have to look in your journal. But so she had maybe about four or five, it was maybe about 2 minutes worth of stuff that she shared. So we go back to the orphanage that evening, and I said, well, what was it like? And she says, it was scary. And I said, well, did you know what you were going to say before you got up there? And she says, no, I didn't. All I knew, it was that guy, and I had one sentence for him. And so Sherry started speaking that one sentence that the Lord had given her, and then a whole bunch of other stuff started coming.
And that's the way the Spirit of God works in our life. You know, oftentimes we're wanting, God, you just give me everything, and I'll process it, and then I'll work it, okay? And in the reality, the way that the Spirit works in our life, He gives us just one step. Okay, you take that step, and that looses the Spirit to begin to give you other stuff. And I have found that that's how God works in our life most of the time. And so most of the time, when we fail in some situations that God puts us in, it's because we don't take that initial step. Because, well, I just want more information on this thing. Yeah, God, that's not very much. And so we don't step out in faith. Because, you know, really when God asks us to begin to move in the Spirit, we move by faith. And that takes trust in God. And when you move by faith, the Spirit begins to activate and loose things within us. So I just want you to just understand this concept that God has equipped us. Whatever situation, circumstances we find ourselves in, God puts us in those situations and allows us in those situations, not so we fail, but so that we can succeed. But in order to do that, to find the success, we have to step out and trust God and take that first step. And when we do, in taking that first step in faith, then the Spirit of God begins to loose some other things that we're not conscious of at the time, but it begins to become activated in our life. And we just see that God really has equipped me to be successful in this. Amen? Okay, that was just too good to pass up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We want to talk about and look at a video. It's a parable about the body of Christ, okay? So let me read just a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll watch the video. And hang in there with me when you watch the video, okay? That's all I'll say on that. It's intriguing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the body, and this is the body of Christ, and this is who we are. It says, in beginning in verse 12, it says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." And verse 14 says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." And then we're going to skip down through this section to verse 24, beginning in about the second half. It says, "But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." And then verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." As I said earlier, Jesus taught in parables, and so this video we're going to watch is really a parable of the body of Christ. Now, one of the things you can take this is an everyday occurrence in Africa, okay? And but you watch it and you think, what does this have to do with anything? Well, almost everything that Jesus taught his disciples were in parables, and they were everyday events that the people could relate to. But Jesus would always say something like this: "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then you tell them the story. And it was always something that they were very conscious of, and this is the way it is. Well, of course, but he says, takes something from the natural realm, and Jesus says, look at the spiritual implications of this. Okay, so as you watch this video, I want you to be aware of the spiritual implications of the body of Christ. Okay, let's go, Ben.
be watching the buffalo who are moving right over there. This could be very interesting. That is a huge buffalo.
That's a huge buffalo.
It's a huge buffalo.
Even the lion.
Oh, they're too young. The one's gone already.
Don't you think they're along the other way?
Is it a little?
I think they're a bit young. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, he's looking, getting, looking.
They're getting ready.
They're crouching.
She's quite big.
Does that mean attack position?
No, it's attack position.
Who is that female? I can't see her.
What's a bull gonna do?
She's gonna do this. Goodness.
Oh my God.
Can we grab the baby?
Oh my God, baby.
She's going for him.
She caught him. Oh, she did. She got him.
Baby, he's gone. He's just plucked a buffalo here.
Oh, my God.
God, did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Unbelievable.
He's always going after it.
Guys, I'm shaking. Can you believe this? The buffalo are coming to help this one now. Watch.
They're too late.
Come and help this baby. Watch.
They're too late. Can they help him now, Frank?
Yeah, they can.
He's still alive, you think?
Oh, he's still alive.
My goodness.
Russell for Frank.
They're trying to drag him out. They're dragging him out.
Hulle het nou net 'n kleintjie gevang. Hier's lekker action hier so jong. Hulle het 'n kleintjie hier so in die water en die trop is besig om nader te kom.
It's on its back. I have to kill it quickly.
Oh, it's so wide.
Ja, positief. Hulle het 'n klein buffeltjie gevang hier so.
There's a crocodile there, too.
Yeah, there's a crocodile. Look, I've got a crocodile looking clanky. Yes.
The crocodile crocodile. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I checked through the barn. There's a croc trying to grab the baby.
Yes. Oh, good gracious.
Oh. Look at this. The crocodile's taking the baby away.
Oh, my God.
They're two crocodiles.
They're going to lose it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're going to fight over it.
Because I'm shaking.
Oh, my God.
Look at that. Oh, he's coming back.
Huge crocodile.
Oh, look at the door.
The lions of one. Oh, the lions of one.
The lions of one?
Oh, the lions of one.
Yeah, but look at all those buffalo coming.
Oh, they're going to come and try and chase the lion, but I think they're too late.
I think you're right. They're way too late now.
No, they're going to chase them. Come on.
Oh, they're too late.
Can you realize it?
Oh, look at the teeth.
Look at them. They're going to chase.
Look at the teeth, Jay. Look at them. You're too late. You're too late.
You guys, you cannot believe what's going on here. There's a big pattern here between lions, crocodiles, and buffaloes.
Look at them all.
Whoa. He swatted at him and kicked at him. He's kicking at him. Look. He's kicking at him.
Ja, julle ouens, julle moet sien wat hier aangaan, jong. Die buffels is besig om die leeu's te omsingel hier so en hulle want die leeu's het 'n klein natie gevang. En hierdie natie's wil die leeu's nou bykom. Hulle jag die leeu's links en regs.
Ooh, they got him surrounded.
Ja, jy kan maar kom, jong. Hier's groot. That one's.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Chasing you.
Come on,
chasing
you. Where'd you
go in the water?
You got the lion on him,
run. Brave, can you get the beast?
The others are doing that.
Go on, go on.
Jesus, can you believe this? I've never seen anyone.
The calf's still alive.
It is?
Yeah, it's trying to get away. It's standing up.
There's two left.
Gee, they chased him away.
But they hooked the one. Did you see that?
They hooked the one.
Come on, Buffalo, go on.
And there's another one.
Oh, the big one.
Oh, run. Leo's that lion's injured. You see that? But do you see that Buffalo threw that one in the air?
Yes. Yeah, I got him. I got him being thrown in the air.
That was really something.
Did that one lioness that was lying down there?
How many buffalo do you reckon there,
right? Hey, this little group there must be more than 100, eh?
Yes.
I mean, you just take 10.
Yeah.
And he's easy coming back.
He's kind of worth this line,
isn't he? No, but he's stupid. He's young.
Yeah.
He's better run much on him.
Where's the little one?
I've never seen anything like this.
Really? You've never seen anything?
Never seen anything like this. I mean, I've seen it on video but, and on movies, but how's this?
Well, you can sell that video.
Yeah, probably. Should
when buffalo attack.
Yeah.
If Jesus were here in the flesh, he would say the body of Christ is like the water buffaloes. And you know, many times, in order to function as the body of Christ, we have to be connected. We got to belong. And we give up our individual identity so that we belong to the body. And amazing things happen when the body of Christ is at work. You are the body of Christ. Amazing things happen through you. And, you know, first time I saw this, you know, my episode in my life that I'm going through was the body of Christ coming on behalf of Joyce. You're the body of Christ. Thank you for your work, you know, in rescuing my wife. But there are others that God wants us to rescue among ourselves. Amen? Amen? Well, let's pray. God, it is powerful imagery that we have seen of what the body of Christ can accomplish and be like. Lord, we would ask that corporately as a body of Christ that gathers under the name of Cross Timbers Church, that you would use us to not only go forth, but Lord, to shelter and protect, to nurture, to love, and to be a part of one another's life so that we work as a whole and not just as individuals to bring about glory to your name and see the advancement of your kingdom on this earth. Thank you for calling us to be a part of your body. Amen and amen. And let's stand, shall we, and have our Shabbat. Amen.